Our first scripture lesson today comes from Proverbs chapter 3. We read this responsively together. Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding.
For her income is better than silver, and her revenue better than gold.
She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her.
Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy.
My child, do not let these escape from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and prudence.
And they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck.
Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble.
If you sit down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet.
Do not be afraid of sudden panic or of the storm that strikes the wicked.
For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. When a great crowd gathered and people from town after town came to him, Jesus said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables so that looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while and in a time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. The word of God for the people of God. All right, who flipped the switch? Who turned summer off and turned fall on? This past week, especially with the cooler days and nights, the bins full of pumpkins and apples at the farm markets, the prevalence of pumpkin spice, everything, everywhere you look, it really feels like the seasons have changed and we are fully into autumn, even though fall doesn't officially arrive until Tuesday this week. Like I said in my newsletter article this month, I can't even believe it's September already and summer is over. On the other hand, I completely agree with Stephen Colbert when he says that the last 6 months have been the longest 10 years of my life. 2020 is the year that just won't quit. From a pandemic to political discord, deception, and dishonesty, from systemic racism to climate disasters, from murder hornets to tornadoes and wildfires and hurricanes, 2020 has been landing one punch after another, with little light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know about you, but I'll admit to feeling tired, anxious, even fearful about the future. Weary is the word that keeps coming to my mind lately. I'm weary of the constant changes to our schedules and our lives, weary of the rancor and division, weary of not being able to see other people in person and having to seek solace and solutions on screens instead. I'm feeling weary with the weight of the world, and I still have my health and my job and my home and my family. Compared to so many others who have lost so much and been hit so hard by the troubles and trials of the time in which we live. Here it is September, and so many of us had hoped that things would be more back to normal, or at least a bit better than it is now. But as Dr. Aaron Carroll reminded us this week in his op-ed piece in the New York Times called "Stop Expecting Life to Go Back to Normal Next Year," this is a marathon, not a sprint. Even after we get a vaccine and more effective treatments for the coronavirus, wearing masks and keeping distance is likely to be the new normal for quite some time to come. Even after the election is over and a new Supreme Court justice is confirmed, even after the protests and riots calm down, even after the winds die down and the rains come, there is still so much work to be done. So many puzzle pieces to put back together. So many homes and lives to rebuild and restore. In the midst of ongoing challenges and tumultuous times, as we face yet another hill or hurdle on the road ahead, how do we keep going? How do we keep putting one foot in front of the other, facing forward into the future? I think this fall season actually helps us find the answer to those questions. Although the leaves are just beginning to change colors, we all know that in a few weeks' time, they will fall to the ground. When the leaves fall off the trees, it's time to focus on the roots, the foundation that grounds us and holds us fast, no matter what is going on around us. At the beginning of September, Chip shared a poem with me that has really stayed with me. And I have since used it as an opening devotion in several church committee meetings, and I included it in the newsletter article this month as well. It's called "The Way It Is," and it was written by American poet William Stafford just 26 days before he died in August of 1993. "The Way It Is." There's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change. But it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it is hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen, people get hurt or die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. Looking back over the past 6 months, what is the thread that you are holding on to? When you step back from your life and reflect on all that's on its many twists and turns, what thread have you followed? As Stafford observes, such a thread may be hard to see or define or explain to someone else. But when you look closely and dig a bit deeper, what have you found does not change, even when everything else around you is changing? After all of the ups and downs, the comings and goings, the beginnings and endings, what keeps you from getting lost or losing hope? What do you hold on to? To what do we hold fast when the winds blow, the changes and challenges just keep coming? And the future is uncertain. I don't know exactly what William Stafford's thread was, and I would imagine that we might all answer this question differently. But for us people of faith, I would hope that your faith is a significant part, if not the most important part, of your answer to that question. As the psalmist proclaims in the 46th Psalm, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. As the Apostle Paul proclaims in his letter to the Romans, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. From the first day of creation to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to the coming of the Holy Spirit, up to this very day and far into the future, God is with us. This is the good news. This is the thread which runs through the entire Bible, from the first chapter of Genesis to the last word of Revelation. This is the good news of our faith to which we hold fast. No matter what changes around us, this does not change. God is with us. As long as we hold on to this precious thread, we can never get lost. Way back in March, at the beginning of the pandemic, a clergy colleague of mine posted a video devotion on YouTube for his congregation. My friend Jacob Bolton had recently started a new call as the associate pastor of Christian Formation at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Alexandria, Virginia. As churches everywhere were all scrambling to move their services and programs online, Jacob spoke to his congregation about the importance of Christian formation, of being shaped in the life of faith, especially as we would all need to adapt to new ways of doing it. Jacob started by sharing that Christian formation is not just about learning Bible stories and what it means to be a Christian, but it's about nurturing the whole person, body, mind, heart, and spirit. Christian formation is not simply learning the biblical story of our Christian faith, but it's also learning and growing in our own story of faith as well. He then traced his faith heritage back through his mother's Scottish Presbyterian side of the family to the MacLeod clan on the Isle of Skye. The Loud MacLeods, as they were sometimes called, were known for the vibrant colors in their tartan, a bright yellow field with black and red plaid. You can't miss it. The MacLeod clan's crest has the head of a bull on it, encircled by what looks like a hefty leather strap with a buckle, and the clan motto, "Hold Fast." According to the legend behind the crest, the clan chieftain was returning one night from a clandestine meeting with other clan chiefs on the mainland when he and his band of men encountered a wild bull. As the chief wrestled with the wild bull, his men stood around him at a safe distance, I'm sure, yelling, "Hold fast! Hold fast!" The chief prevailed, and their clan motto was born. Hold fast. This motto has become part of Jacob's story now, too. It reminds him of the determination and stubborn will it often takes to overcome life's challenges, and it connects him to the larger story of his faith that we find in Scripture. When his namesake, another Jacob in the book of Genesis, wrestles all night long with an angel and manages to hold fast, this Jacob is given a new name and a new identity as the leader of God's people, Israel. When, after 40 long years of wandering in the wilderness, the 12 tribes of Israel are about to enter into the promised land, Moses commands them, "The Lord your God you shall follow. Him alone you shall fear, his commandments you will keep, his voice you shall obey, him you shall serve, and to him you shall hold fast." Many centuries later, when the kingdom of Israel has gone astray, the prophet Hosea pleads with them, "But as for you, return to your God, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for your God." All throughout our biblical story, God's people are called to hold fast to their faith, to hold fast to the God who creates, redeems, and sustains them, to hold fast to the way of life that God calls them to live, not only for their own well-being, but for the well-being of the whole world. Our scripture lessons today help us to find the thread which we are to hold fast. Our Old Testament lesson from the book of Proverbs charges us to both seek and follow the ways of God's holy wisdom. In the Old Testament, wisdom is personified as a woman, and seeking and finding and following wisdom is a lifelong journey of following God's commandments, celebrating God's steadfast love and faithfulness, and relying on God's strength and goodness every moment of every day. In the New Testament, Jesus becomes the embodiment of God's wisdom, showing us exactly what it looks like to live in right relationship with God and the world, to live in accordance with God's will and ways. According to Proverbs, if we hold fast to God's wisdom and follow wisdom's path, we will enjoy abundant life and peace in relationship with God. We do not need to panic or fear the storms of life, because God will guide our footsteps and make sure that we do not fall. In our gospel lesson, Jesus tells the familiar parable of the sower sowing the seed of God's word in many different kinds of soil. Some seeds land on the pathway and are quickly eaten by birds. Other seeds fall among rocks, and although they sprout, they have no roots, and they quickly wither and die. Still other seeds fall on the ground among thorns and weeds, but the thorns take up all the sun and water, and their fruit cannot ripen. Finally, some of the seed lands in good soil, soil that holds fast to the seeds, soil that nurtures strong roots that nourish the plants and produce mature fruit. What kind of soil are we? Exposed and hardened, vulnerable to birds and squirrels who are eager to divert us and snatch away our faith? Or are we rocky and root averse, so full of obstacles that our faith can't find room to take root? Or is our soil so crowded with busy lives and schedules, anxieties and fears, or competing priorities that prevent our faith from ever maturing? Or are we good soil, holding fast to God's word with honest and good hearts, and bearing fruit with patient endurance? Friends, it's time to get our soil ready for fall, to attend to our roots, to hold fast to the things, the one thing, really, that will enable us to endure these challenging, uncertain times and even bear fruit in the midst of them. Those of you who know me probably know where I'm headed with this sermon. As Chip already mentioned, our Faith Formation program kicks off today with Sunday school for our children and youth and Faith for Life for our older youth and adults. In the midst of the pandemic and all of the disruption it has caused, we have had an opportunity to reevaluate how we are forming faith in our children, youth, and adults, where we are doing well and where we might be falling short. This summer, the Faith Formation team started looking at a book called 100 Things Every Child Should Know Before Confirmation by Presbyterian pastor Rebecca Kirkpatrick, and we realized that we had some holes in our curriculum for our children and youth. We also remembered all those adults who over the years have asked for a confirmation class for grown-ups, too. These 100 things are not just for children, but they are the 100 things that every Christian should know period. We hope that you will join us in the learning and teaching going on in our faith community. As a way to nurture and prepare the soil of your faith, so that the living word of God can take root, grow strong, and bear fruit, we are encouraging all of us, not just our young people, to go back to the roots of our faith story and our biblical story, to learn or maybe relearn the basics, to rediscover the powerful thread of God's love and grace that holds us all together, especially in times like these. Now, I realize that I'm mixing metaphors this morning. We've got roots and soil, wild bulls and thread, but the thing that they all have in common is the motto, hold fast. God has planted the word of life in you. Hold fast. When you find yourself wrestling bulls, wild bulls, be they coronavirus or racial injustice, hold fast. When you are surrounded by uncertainty and change, hold fast to the thread of faith that God has woven into your life. Hold fast so that you may learn and grow, survive and thrive as a beloved child of God, following in the wisdom and ways of Christ our Savior, uplifted and sustained by God's life-giving Spirit, that we all may face the future with faith and hope. Hold fast. Amen.